We take a look at net neutrality. Earlier this week, a U.S. appeals court struck down federal rules requiring broadband providers to treat all internet traffic equally.
And while that might sound a little wonky, some are saying this court decision could have the potential to change the future of the internet as we know it.
Joining us now to explain how this might affect internet users is Ed Wyatt. He's a reporter at the New York Times covering telecommunications and technology policy. Ed, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks. Good afternoon.
Well, we've been hearing the phrase net neutrality tossed around a lot over the years. Can you define it for us, please?
Right. Net neutrality simply means that all traffic has to be treated equally. There has to be a neutral policy toward any type of traffic carried on a broadband network. But there's another kind of more important phrase called common carrier. And if I can indulge you in a little bit of history, it'll help you understand this
Sure.
a little better. It goes back to the time of the railroad barons, and the government determined that the railroads were such an important part of commerce that they had to carry anything that someone wanted to ship by rail. Now, there were some restrictions. They didn't have to carry, say, if you wanted to ship a bomb, or they didn't have to carry so many passengers that there were passengers hanging off the roof. But in general, they had to carry anything that anybody wanted to ship at a neutral price, charging everybody the same for the same amount of shipping. As the telephone network developed, the government said that is the common carrier too. Telephone companies, you have to, in order to provide telephone service, you have to carry all telephone traffic. As the internet started, all internet service was dial-up over telephone lines, and so the same thing, common carriage or net neutrality, if you will, applied to dial-up internet service. But by 2002, we had broadband, and what the FCC determined is that that broadband is not a common carrier. It's not the same as a telecommunications service, that it's something different, essentially an information service. There's some added value there. And so they said, we're going to classify broadband internet service differently, and it's not subject to these common carrier requirements. The operators of the network have some leeway in what they can do. Now, flash forward, the FCC in 2010 said we want to treat all networks equally, impose net neutrality. The court said yesterday, you can't do that because essentially you're treating everything like a railroad or a telephone network, and that's not what it is.
So until a couple days ago, if my company, Robco, has a website and I want to pay Verizon or somebody extra to make Robco's.com go faster, I couldn't do that.
Right, under the FCC rules. And so Verizon challenged that, and they got the court to agree with them that that the network is not that kind of network, and it's not regulated that way, according to the FCC itself and the decision it made in 2002. Now, what the court said additionally is that the FCC does have some authority to write regulations governing the internet, and what exactly those that authority is unclear. It can do things that help promote the economic value of the internet, and that provide greater access and stimulate commerce. So there will be a lot of arguments over, if Netflix pays Verizon to download its movies faster to consumers, is that improving the economics of the internet, or is that blocking other sites that can't afford to pay?
Right. One of the big concerns, one of the big criticisms of this ruling and getting rid of net neutrality, right, is that the big guys can pay lots of money and make their stuff go faster. The new internet startups that have been such a focus of high-tech economic development can't compete on that playing field, so now they're at a built-in disadvantage from day one.
Right. And so, if you remember back in the mid-90s, there were all kinds of search engines that people used, Alta Vista, Yahoo, Ask Jeeves, and Google. And what people discovered was they liked using Google better. It provided better results. Google made a deal with AOL to kind of give it exclusivity. And as a result, Google grew into what it's grown into. But it didn't make a deal to block all other, Internet search engines. You still could get those on the internet.
So I know there's a lot of speculation. The FCC has to react, maybe even appeal this. But what are some of the scenarios for the people who are using the internet, the everyday consumer?
Well, nothing's going to change immediately in what you see. And what the new chairman of the FCC has said is that he wants to let companies experiment with these kind of things and see if there is consumer harm. And if there are some of these programs implemented where it's evident that there is harm to consumers or that consumers are being outright blocked from getting some services, then the FCC will intervene. But they don't want to upfront impose regulations. And so the average internet user is not going to see a lot different immediately, but this could have a big effect down the road.
Well, one harm you mentioned is maybe we don't get to see some of the services via our particular internet provider. Is there a thought that it might increase or maybe decrease what consumers pay for their broadband service, say?
Well, it certainly could. If Netflix decides we want to pay Verizon to get our movies through the pipeline faster, its profit margins are going to go down. So Netflix then may say, well, we're going to shift some of this cost to the paying customer. Now, if Verizon owned a movie studio, or Comcast owns a movie studio, if they make it so that their movies download faster than movies from other movie studios, that could present a problem because it could be essentially giving an advantage to their own content.
Well, it sounds like that might be something that would move away from the FCC to the FTC, right? The Federal Trade Commission, if there's a worry that there are some kind of monopolistic practices. Is that something you see as maybe in the future?
Well, it's possible. The Justice Department ruled on the merger of Comcast and Universal NBC and actually imposed some short-term restrictions on that kind of thing. But it does hold the potential for monopoly power to develop and for these companies to either disadvantage consumers or not disclose adequately what they're doing.
I see a lot of interest in this from obviously the companies involved on either side of the issue, from certain internet advocates. But do you see a lot of public attention to the issue of net neutrality?
I don't, because it's a difficult concept to grasp.
Yeah.
As I try to explain it here, it just seems ever more difficult. Most people don't care. Whether Netflix is paying Verizon to speed the movies. All they care is they turn on their TV, do they have to wait 2 minutes before a movie downloads? And if some of these deals solve that problem, consumers may not be too upset.
What's next in the legal system? Is this something that will likely end up at the U.S. Supreme Court?
Well, from what the FCC chairman has said so far, it doesn't look like he's heavily leaning toward appealing the decision. Now, he said that we may appeal the decision, and they're still going over it. But it seems like they want to see how things work out, just see what products develop and what effect they have on consumers, and kind of go on a case-by-case basis. I think that one possibility is the FCC could go back itself or go to Congress and say, we want to change our mind. That internet service is a common carrier. It is a utility like a telephone and has to be regulated like that. If they do that or they get Congress to do that, then they could impose some of these neutrality rules.
Ed, thanks a lot for clearing these issues up for us.
I'm not sure I did.
Well, for me anyway. I think I know more now. Ed Wyatt was with us. He's a reporter at the New York Times. He covers telecommunications and technology policy.